time now for Community Circle, circling the things that matter for you and your neighbors. Community Circle is a service of Sierra H Broadcasting.
Today we have guests from a nonprofit organization that spent 46 years providing services to some of the most vulnerable across the state, PSA Behavioral Health. Today we have Dr. Tasneem Doctor. Her last name is Doctor, the Chief Clinical and Development Officer, who is a licensed therapist with over 13 years of postdoctoral work experience. Mary Louisa Thompson, a site administrator with a master's in counseling in education, nearly 20 years of behavioral health experience, as well as State Senator Robert Mesa, who has served in the state legislature for the past 15 years and regularly champions behavioral health causes and organizations, including having previously served as a board member at PSA Behavioral Health. And so tell me about what's going on with PSA Behavioral Health. What is it? Explain to me what it is.
PSA Behavioral Health is a nonprofit organization that serves adults, children, and families with behavioral health needs. We offer a wide range of services, traditional therapy, counseling, medication management, but we also provide housing and a program called Art Awakenings, which is art therapy and therapeutic arts. We serve approximately 3,000 individuals each year, and we are statewide, so we have locations in both urban and rural areas across the state of Arizona.
Is it a facility? Is it a program? Are there many facilities? How does it work?
There are multiple locations throughout the state. There are approximately 17 locations for Art Awakenings, and then we have our three outpatient clinics as well. So we have approximately 20 locations throughout the state under PSA.
And who are you helping again? Just to clarify, like who?
We serve all ages, adults, children, and families. The majority of our population are on public health, so they're receiving access. And so we serve some of the most vulnerable population, individuals who can't afford traditional health care. And so that's primarily who we serve.
And just recently, they got a grant from the AG's office for $500,000 that helped the Human metropolitan area with children with autism. So they're doing art therapy with children there. So it's something cutting edge and something that the NEA, National Endowment for the Arts, has recognized that PSA is doing some wonderful work in Arizona. So they kind of want to replicate services. And so they're flying out soon to come and visit us statewide.
And what separates this program from like other homeless shelters, other services available, like the Salvation Army does stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, what is unique about your services you guys provide and the locations?
Well, PSA provides a full range of services, not just outpatient therapy, not just, you know, groups and individual therapy and medication, but we also have housing and Art Awakenings. And so some of the modalities we utilize are very different from traditional outpatient centers. As you know, when you walk around Central Phoenix or drive around Central Phoenix, you see a lot of individuals who suffer from homelessness. And a lot of those individuals have mental illness, and they're not able to sustain their house. So even if they can find affordable housing, which is oftentimes difficult, they have difficulty maintaining housing because they don't have the support and the treatment and the structure in place to help maintain it. So we provide not only affordable housing, but we also offer case management, therapy, all of the wraparound services to ensure that they will sustain housing long term.
So life tools.
Yes.
Life tools. So, yeah, because it's real easy. It's like, okay, here you go. Here's your studio apartment. Here's your one-bedroom apartment. They get it. But if you don't know how to, you know, you don't know everything from like washing the dishes to throwing out the garbage, right? I mean,
exactly.
They might know or they have to train their brain to getting back into like those regular things.
Yes.
And
yes.
In addition, they're culturally competent. So there's over 53 languages spoken, for example, in my legislative district. PSA is culturally competent to those individuals. They speak Spanish, Arabic, you name it, they can do it. And people feel very comfortable. So all listeners out there, being young, middle-aged, or senior citizens, be well aware of PSA Behavioral Health because they have services that can help children, young adults, and senior citizens.
And that's a good point. I'm going to stray off a little bit. But, like, do you guys work with the refugee population?
We definitely work with the refugee population.
A lot of people from Somalia, and like, you know, there's a quite a big adjustment to come to the United States, and it can get overwhelming, right?
Yes. Right now, we're actually working on a partnership with the International Rescue Committee, and that's also located in North Phoenix. So we're working with them to collaborate and ensure that those individuals receive the services they need, because they can access our services. While we're primarily, you know, public health, so individuals on access or Medicare, we also take self-pay and commercial insurance. So we do serve a wide range of individuals.
Oh, okay. You know, and you also touched upon seniors. Now, people in America especially, I think we do a terrible job of planning for the future, especially because I'm only going to live till I'm 60 or whatever, right? But the fact of the matter is, you know, you stop having income coming in, and not only that, but, you know, mental health deteriorates over time, you know, with some afflictions like, you know, Alzheimer's and stuff. Are there programs for the seniors specifically? Are you guys doing anything specifically for senior citizens? Like working with, like, you know, giving them tools or providing them care? I'm sorry.
Hi.
Hey.
We've just started two new programs, and they're outpatient basis as well for youth and adult. And so the youth center is actually a full range of variety of services as well, kind of what she just explained, with case management. We've got psychiatric services, nursing, the individual and group therapy. And so with that, my particular clinic is actually in Gilbert. It's the Higley Integrated Care. And so we serve the adult population, 18 years and above. And it could be more folks with general mental health or a serious mental illness. And again, we provide, there are folks there that can help them with tools. Teach them tools to learn even just the basic necessities of life skills. So again, it could be, you know, anything from independent living skills, learning just some people maybe because of the mental illness, they have forgotten things or not able to do those things anymore. So almost reteaching and also there being a support to just maybe it's, you know, learning how to budget or, you know, shop. Cook, clean, you know, just kind of those basic needs. So if they're maybe not in a supervisory, you know, living facility, we could also help them try to get into one if that's appropriate, or wrap around the services in their own home.
And a third group of people I know that have been, you know, have had it tough lately have been veterans. Do you guys have, you know, because I mean, these guys, a lot of them, they really need post-traumatic therapy, right? Or what do you call it? PTSD. Mm-hmm. They need therapy for that, correct?
Yes. We do. Some of the population are veterans, and we do offer trauma-informed therapy, and that is specifically to work with individuals who are impacted by post-traumatic stress disorder. So that's something that we really focus on, and we ensure that our therapists and practitioners, our medical practitioners, have training in trauma-informed care.
And that's a good point about the veterans. So Maricopa County has the second highest number of veterans than any other county in the United States. They're behind Los Angeles. So there is, veterans do utilize the behavioral health system. The other thing aspect that PSA brings is that behavioral health, people see it as a stigma. So we try to knock down those barriers of the stigma behind it. We treat diabetes, but we talk about diabetes. We treat cancer. You have cancer, brain tumor, we treat it. Behavioral health needs to be tackled in that way too. If there's an issue with behavioral health with a child in the family or an adult or a senior citizen, we need to embrace those people and talk about it and bring it to the forefront, bring it to light to it. And that's why we're here today also, is to tell people PSA will embrace the whole family as a family unit.
And, you know, I think also, I mean, it's important when we touch upon PTSD, it's not just a soldier's disease. I mean, these are like children who witness violence at home when they're young, stuff like that, right? I mean,
yes.
People suffer from it and they don't even know they suffer from it, yeah?
Yes. Domestic violence. There are many individuals, you know, that have been faced with trauma of various forms, sexual abuse, all kinds of things. So a large proportion of our population does suffer with some kind of post-traumatic issue. And again, we want to ensure that we treat it not as a stigma-based illness. We talk about depression and anxiety. being common, but a chemical imbalance. It's not a chemical, I mean, it's a chemical imbalance, but that's not how we talk about hypothyroidism, which is also a chemical imbalance. It's low hormones, right? So depression and anxiety, you're dealing with serotonin, you're dealing with all kinds of other neurotransmitters, and it really is just a deficiency in those levels. So it's a physiological-based disease, and we need to treat it as we do other conditions in the traditional medical model.
But so you did bring up an important point about children, about trauma to the brain. In Arizona, we have the highest per capita of children pulled out of their homes and put into foster care. So currently there's like 18,000 children in Arizona put in foster care. Hmm. A lot of those children have experienced trauma to the brain. Because once there's violence or sexual abuse, the chemical changes that occur in the brain of a child do change. And there's been studies, I'm not an expert in it, but there has been studies on that. And so to take those children and give them in a behavioral health, working with experts to level out that trauma experience and that emergency feeling of anxiety, that's what we try to do. We try to inoculate the system to prevent that from happening with the children.
And I'm sorry, go ahead, Doctor, you have something to add to it?
Well, I was just going to kind of piggyback on what he was saying. So 50% of mental illness starts in childhood, and partially because of this. And I have to say that Arizona has done a great job of addressing this issue. So there was a grassroots kind of campaign that occurred, and we actually passed a bill called Jacob's Law. And that ensures that those individuals who are placed in foster care access behavioral health services within 72 hours of being placed, because it is highly traumatic to be pulled out of the home from an unsafe environment and placed into another home. Those individuals, those children, are still scared of what might happen in this strange environment. So we really have done an amazing job in the state of Arizona to ensure that they receive behavioral health services and they receive them quickly.
Your website indicates that you have two new clinics and you recently opened up. Tell me a little bit about the new clinics. Where are they located?
So we have our youth intake clinic, which is on 23rd Avenue in Northern. So they serve the youth under 18 population. It's a full array of services, again, where they do have case management, individual and group therapy. They do also art therapy as well, psychiatric services, so they can do have treatment plans. So, again, they're working very closely with our folks to, you know, kind of have baby steps to kind of figure out the overall goal.
Now, the kids who go there, mm-hmm. are they referred? Are they brought to you guys? Do people come in off the street? Are they usually coming from another doctor? Are they coming from social services?
All. So, yes, they can self-refer. We've got them from a school sometimes, also from, you know, primary care offices. So it really can come from anywhere. And on our website, we do have a referral form. So anybody can go on there, fill out the referral form, and send it to the youth.
What is the website?
www.azpsa.org.
One more time?
www.azpsa.org.
Okay.
Yes.
And the other location?
And so the other location is in Gilbert off of Higley and Queen Creek. And so that is our adult outpatient program. So 18 years and over. Basically all the same services. The system is moving into integrated health. So we're really just not focusing on somebody's psychiatric issues, but the whole person. So, you know, mind, body. So we're doing a lot of health and wellness education. We also have a registered RN who does holistic healing. So does sound
like
stuff
Reiki?
With sound therapy.
Oh, nice.
So
maybe not Reiki. All right, I'm getting into the resort.
That's
knife.
Close.
I'm sorry.
We might expand to that. You never know. Mm-hmm. But and again, just more on the physical health as well. So we have like a treadmill. You know, we do yoga, we do meditation, and again, we do have a certified art therapist as well, where she does therapy, obviously through art. So again, we have case managers that are there to really be an advocate and a main contact for the person, to really be a resource for them. And kind of, it's a huge system that we have here. So to really just kind of help them navigate through the system and point them in the right direction.
So let me ask you this question. If I'm listening right now and I say to myself, you know what, my niece or my nephew or maybe the neighbor kid, he's been troubled lately. He was such a fun-spirited kid. I don't know what happened. I know there were some issues in the household. And how do I refer them to a place?
So our general number is 602-995-1767. And those folks can get the information and funnel you to the clinic that best suits your needs.
What's the number again?
602-995-1767. And also through the website, which is www.azpsa.org. And, you know, for our outpatient clinics, both youth and adult, you can actually self-refer. You can go on there yourself. I really think the best way is just to call up the number and get information. And that way your needs can be addressed and you can be funneled to the right program that really meets those needs.
And I think the thing is to ask questions. Call in, ask very critical questions. You know, a lot of people dealing with a behavioral health issue don't want to ask questions. And that's how you get to the root of the problems.
The people answering the phones are trained to ask you the questions that you need to basically get the information so that they can direct you to the right place. We have multiple programs, as we mentioned, and we have something for everyone. Holistic wellness, art therapy, individual counseling, group therapy, binaural beats, which is a sound healing technique. We have so many different modalities because we live in a district, as Senator Meza said, that's very diverse. And not all individuals are comfortable with traditional talk therapy. So we want to be able to address those needs. If an individual has a language barrier or culturally they just don't feel comfortable participating in traditional services, we do have something that will meet the needs of everyone.
Doctor, that's interesting. Can we touch on that a little bit? If someone has a traumatic issue or they have some kind of a psychological issue, and they're culturally, they're not used to like talking and exposing themselves in some kind of, what kind of therapies are available to them?
Well, there is the holistic wellness, which is sound healing and traumatic release. It's a mind-body experience completed by our holistic nurse. That's one type of modality. Another program that is really big with PSA is a program called Art Awakenings. Art Awakenings started in 2001, and we have 17 studios and galleries throughout the state of Arizona. So not only do we provide art therapy and therapeutic arts, but we also have galleries where these individuals that are accessing treatment can market and sell their artwork. So we help them do that. We're part of First Friday. We have a gallery right on Roosevelt. We have a warehouse right on Roosevelt and a studio where individuals can create their work. They often set up booths and tables, and they have business cards, and they're selling their stuff because we want them to feel proud of what they're doing and proud of this therapeutic experience. And that's one way they can really do that. So a lot of individuals with language barriers or cultural factors that influence their desire to participate in traditional therapy really relate to our Art Awakenings program.
I would imagine talking about the actual why you drew this or why you made this kind of art is very therapeutic also.
Yes, absolutely. So healing, you know, occurs while they're processing things through art. And they also work in groups. So they're working with other individuals who are experiencing some very similar symptoms. And so they can talk about it and process it with their peers, and they really increase their socialization. We have individuals that basically never left their house or very rarely left their house. And then they came into our Art Awakenings program, and now all of a sudden they're socializing with peers within the program. They want to come to our studios and galleries on a weekly basis, and they really, really get engaged in this program.
That's awesome. What is the average experience for a participant with PSA behavioral health?
Basically, I think kind of they first come in and meet with a psychiatrist. And they do an assessment and evaluation of that person to really kind of determine, you know, what services that they're wanting and what they need. And then we're going to give them the recommendations. There is a whole team. They're assigned a case manager, again, so somebody who can be their contact person that they can really ask any type of questions, you know, that they would like. And, you know, if we don't know the answer, we'll point them in the right direction, get them those resources. But basically at the outpatient clinics, at least for the adult clinic where I'm at, we do have a couple facilitators that run groups. So it can be educational groups, you know, or social skill groups. So again, our whole focus is really to help somebody find a meaningful daily activity. So whether that's work, school, volunteering, coming into one of the classes that we have going on, or referring them somewhere else in the community. Like she mentioned, you know, we have people that do tend to isolate in their home and not want to come out. You know, we slowly, hopefully, can kind of pull them to come out of their home and be part of the community. We have a couple of folks that work with us who one is a peer themselves. So they are currently in the system themselves but can hold down a full-time job. And we have several throughout our PSA locations. And so I think sometimes that helps our clients feel more comfortable and maybe more open to share because this is somebody who's gone through what they've gone through. I think it's also maybe given them hope like, hey, they've got a full-time job. Like maybe one day I'm going to be able to do that too. So it's kind of a buddy, you know, that they can partner up with. They can help them go out in the community together. So in case they're that stigma or they just feel uncomfortable going out by themselves, I think we really, our center, we try to really help them network with one another. So again, to just kind of build relationships and have that confidence go out in the community.
Do you find that a lot of people who go through the services at PSA end up giving back in that kind of way?
Yes. Definitely.
That's nice.
It's really cool to see.
The relatability factor mm-hmm. must be fantastic.
And with the peer program, that's a lot of what our folks have gone through where they've learned to kind of do this. They actually go through a class themselves and they get a certification through the state. And then they're able to have a job and they're going out and really, you know, trying to get people, you know, involved and engage them in services. So it's really pretty cool. And we have another position. She's a rehabilitation specialist. And so she also really helps somebody with employment. So again, maybe somebody's worked and now they've, you know, had a relapse, you know, their symptoms have taken over and they're not able to hold a job. Hopefully with the services we're providing, we can get to that point back to working again. And even if it's just baby steps, you know, but she can kind of work with them to see, you know, find out what the skills that they did have, hopefully maybe re-enhance those skills. We do work with voc rehab counselors that are through the state. So again, if somebody maybe is interested in working in a special line of work and they need the education piece, they can help them provide, you know, them to go back to school and get that degree in order to have that education. So there really are so many services out there that people are just not aware of.
You know, the services are great, but can you guys think of a specific, I mean, you don't got to give names, but like, can you give me a specific story? Because I know sometimes those kind of just kind of, you know, pull the heartstrings a little bit, right? People want to know.
You know, we see quite a bit. And I think just one example, like we were talking, I just, you know, remember somebody who, again, just really isolated in their home and, you know, was afraid to.
Like agoraphobia.
Yeah, exactly. And afraid to be around other people, you know, wasn't, you know, just didn't want to go outside. So we did have one of our peers, you know, kind of slowly kind of, you know, meet with them and at their home, you know, and kind of just developed a rapport with them and slowly kind of started maybe just going for a walk, you know, around the block or just even a couple steps outside their door at first. And then it just became more and more. Then we were able to get them into the clinic. And then he would even sit with them, you know, in the group so they didn't feel alone or by themselves in the class that they were attending. So just kind of really holding their hand. And then it just got to a point where, like I just mentioned, they actually, you know, kind of came out of the shell and just kind of felt more comfortable and more confident. And they wanted to, what this person did for them, they wanted to do that for others. So they actually got their peer certification and started, you know, teaching and working. So pretty amazing.
How can I help PSA Behavioral Health? Do you guys need money? Do you guys do an advance? Do you guys need people to volunteer? How does it work?
Well, you can actually volunteer. We have many volunteers throughout the state who help PSA. That's one. Secondly, we have the corporate arena and people from the political arena who are helping us from a business side. They recognize the development side of PSA is vitally important to the state of Arizona. Though we do receive public funds, we do receive private funds. There is a tax credit, and I'll let Tasneem explain that a little more in detail, of where you can actually give money and write it off on your taxes. So you have, I think, till April of 2018 to do that. And that's what we're doing now for the Christmas holidays, for the holidays. Okay. We're interfacing with that.
And is that the website you can donate?
Yes. Yeah, so if you go on the PSA website, www.azpsa.org, you can find information about our tax credit. And so charitable organizations like ours that are nonprofits that help vulnerable populations can obtain money through the tax credit. So if you owe some money to the state, as most of us do, have some kind of liability at the end of the year, which we would just pay the state of Arizona, instead of doing that, you can actually donate to a charity of your choice. And PSA is a charity that falls under that category. So if you have a loved one or friend or a family member that's dealt with mental illness and you have, you really want to support the cause, you can donate the tax credit to PSA. And so instead of paying the state, it can go directly to our organization.
Is it up to a certain percent or yes. How does it work?
So it's $400 per individual and $800 per married couple.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the max. And you know what's interesting? Though we're talking about Arizona locally, behavioral health is a national issue. It's a global issue. So if you look at some of the incidences that have occurred in the country, if you trace it back, it's because of a behavioral health issue. That's why the behavioral health issue has become such an important role in government and in the private sector. If you've witnessed some of the shootings that have occurred in the country, usually the behavioral pattern of that shooter is isolated, angry, depressed. That's a behavioral health issue. They might not be mentally ill, but it's just a behavioral health issue that we as citizens need to unite to confront and help and embrace these people.
And that's a good point. Doctor, maybe you can touch upon this. I think a lot of people say, mental illness is running my family. I'm okay. You know what I mean? Or like, it's genetic, you know. Some of it is, but some of it is just traumatic circumstances or other things that happen.
Yes, there are traumatic. So behavioral health issues are complicated, right? It's not one thing or another. It could be environmental from some kind of trauma, or it could be life stressors, or it can be physiological. And oftentimes it's a combination of both. So we may have a genetic predisposition, and maybe no one in our family have had dealt with it, but we may have a genetic predisposition to depression or anxiety or other illnesses. And once we experience some kind of life stressor or trauma, you see those symptoms. But maybe otherwise it wouldn't present. So it really is a combination. And I just encourage folks that when you start to see signs of that, when you start to see signs of isolation, you start to see one of your friends or family not participating in activities, kind of down, disengaging from life, disengaging from work, reach out to them and ask them what's going on and encourage them to get treatment. Because just like with anything else, early intervention is crucial. The earlier you get treated, the less intense that treatment has to be. So if you go in early, you may just need therapy and not medication, or you may be able to participate in art therapy and nothing else, or maybe you can do meditation and yoga and none of the other services. So the more quickly you identify and treat that condition, the more successful you're going to be at kind of stopping those symptoms or managing those symptoms long term.
Circling the things that matter for you and your neighbors. Community Circle is a service of Sierra H Broadcasting.